Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a really interesting guest for you today. But first, we have this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guest is Dave Wisseman from Warner Farm in Sunderland, home of the famous Mike's Maze. Happy to have you here on Business Talk, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dave, before we get into the recent history of the corn maze that has brought plenty of attention to the Warner Farm over the past couple decades, tell me about the farm itself. You represent the 10th generation of leadership there, I believe. So tell me about the farm's history in Sunderland and what has grown there over the years and what grows there now.
Yeah, so the farm was originally, Warners came over on the boats right after the Mayflower and settled in Hadley down in the 1600s, and were one of the first founding families to move their way up towards, up the river to Sunderland. And, you know, the early stages of the farm were very much just kind of, you know, subsistence farming, and, you know, growing just enough that you would, you know, maybe sell a little bit to your neighbors here and there, but kind of just to live off the land. Back, my great grandfather grew a lot of onions and potatoes. That was kind of his mainstay of what he grew back in the day. Mm-hmm. When my grandfather took over, he started growing potatoes, but then in the 60s was introduced to the idea of pick your own strawberries by a UMass extension agent. And was one of the first farms in the valley to start doing pick your own strawberries, which was very successful for him and the farm in general for back in the 60s and 70s, kind of the height of pick your own when everyone was doing a ton of home canning and everything. And then my dad took over in the late 80s, I guess mid 80s. He started growing sweet corn, diversifying the type of crops we grew then, and then started the corn maze back in the year 2000, which has grown since then. Today, our mainstays are we grow a lot of strawberries, peaches, and blueberries, so kind of small fruits, and then we also grow a lot of sweet corn. Cherry tomatoes, a whole spectrum of other things, green beans, peas, and we kind of sell wholesale produce all around the valley, and some of it even makes its way out to Boston and down in New York City too through a couple distributors. So
yeah, when you're talking about the pick your own experience, I know that's become popular at a lot of farms since then. When you talked to my colleague George for an article in Business West about this recently, it was a term that I had not heard before, but it makes sense, agritourism. And it sounds like mm-hmm. you guys are kind of an innovator of that, the idea of giving people a farm experience.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, inviting people onto the farm, I think it was certainly a new concept back in when my grandfather started doing it, to bring people out to have them pick your own. And I think back then a lot of people were kind of viewing it as, you know, they would come out and they'd pick a lot of strawberries for, you know, freezing, canning, different process. Yeah. Nowadays, people, when they're coming out for those experiences, are much more focused on basically the farm experience. And, you know, that's more of what they're focused on. So that's the agritainment is definitely become a large part of our business and a large part of a lot of the small farms in and around New England for people who are trying to reconnect with farm roots that they've lost, whether it's coming out to pick your own strawberries or coming out to corn mazes.
You know, speaking of Mike's Maze, let's transition into that. Mike's your father, and almost a quarter century ago, I guess, he decided to establish a corn maze. How did that come about, and what was the first maze?
It came around like any good idea, which was over a couple of beers at a Christmas party. So a he and then his original business partner, Will Sillen, who was an artist, were at a Christmas party with another mutual friend who had gone to a corn maze out in Central Mass, and basically came back and said, you guys should do something with this. And the very first year they did the Minuteman quarter. That was the design. And then the following year they decided to kind of change their process around a little bit, change around how they could actually transfer the design into the field. And this was kind of Will's artistic brain thinking about this. And the second year they did it, the style was the, or the image was the Mona Lisa, which got a lot of attention both nationally and internationally. It got, kind of national news coverage for a picture of Mona Lisa in the maze, and kind of helped establish the, the brand of Mike's Maze, which is really about combining kind of agriculture and art, to create kind of a, a unique experience out in the field. So it's not just, we're not just, your average corn maze, which is putting out some a more generic design, and kind of having, some more like, generic farm games out there. We try and really lean into the artistic side of it as well. Make the activities very, interactive and thoughtful, and blending some kind of creative elements into them as well.
Sure. This year's maze is really interesting. So the way I heard it described and then saw a picture from above that you have etched around the outside of the maze is the question, in the age of artificial intelligence, what makes us human? And in the middle is the word thinking. And that's an outside the box idea for a corn maze, but yet it's such a timely concept. So how did that design come about?
Yeah, I mean, so the currently, me and my wife Jess are kind of the co-creators of the create, the creative elements of the maze. And we'd kind of been each year. It's a different process for how we come up with the ideas. This year, we were honestly trying to think about like, man, what's some sort of, topic that would be. Not just topical, but we're also kind of like, what would help us? We have just like a lot on our plate this year with all the crazy weather we've had going on. What would make this easier? And we're like, well, AI would make this easier. And we're kind of like, well, that's interesting. And we kind of started teasing the idea out from there, and had fun, using some of these open source AI systems, ChatGPT and DALL-E, and trying to play around with them and see how they, how they could help us create this maze, but then also just how they work. Each year it's a different theme, and we really do dive into the theme to try and understand, the ins and outs of them. And I think that, the biggest thing with this design that we have is that, like you said, the question is, in the age of artificial intelligence, what makes us human? And some people have read the inner part, the thinking part is the answer. And it's actually, we're not saying that thinking is what's making us human. It's more that, it's a question for us to ponder and think about. And those are some elements of the game that is out in the maze this year, are asking people to kind of ponder those questions. And can machines think in the way that we think about that? What are some people, what are people's greatest hopes and fears for AI as we enter into this new era? So, yeah.
And there's like there's stations or areas inside the maze where you pose certain questions or ideas.
There are, yeah. So we're not, we don't view, we are a, we're a corn maze in quotes, I would say. We view the field, like I've said, as kind of a blank canvas, and we make our design out in the field, and then put various activities and games out in the field for people to play. So it's not just, one way in, one way out corn maze. It's more going for a walk out in the cornfield and using a map that we provide with you to try and find the different stations. There's kind of three different activities out in the maze this year. One of them is just a trivia question, you know, kind of about AI, but we make sure to keep the trivia kind of fun and funny, but also, you know, topical on this issue. We have a more accessible binary code game that's geared towards children, which is specifically about finding certain stations and kind of, you know, decoding the numbers that are on there using the binary language, which is the language of computers, to, you know, find, decode the secret message. And then we have our kind of our thinking stations, the stations where there's no right or wrong answer. We're just asking people to kind of think about these big topics around AI and weigh in by either recording their answers on little voice recorders that we're going to kind of listen to and also probably keep for posterity's sake. And then also to kind of vote using a couple of different, these marble run type things that we have out there to, you know, say how they feel about, you know, if can machines think, should computers be allowed to think, all those sorts of questions. So
you're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with Dave Wisseman from Warner Farm in Sunderland. Dave, how is a maze created? I mean, you see it from above, but, you know, when you're, you know, in it, obviously it's a lot more amorphous. So how are these things designed and built?
Yeah, the maze is actually traditionally back in the day, they would, Will, the artist, would essentially go out there and cut it all out by hand. And slowly lose his mind while he did it. Essentially, the field is cross-planted with the corn planter, which leaves a 5-foot grid across the whole field. And he would then basically count the squares, take that grid, put it over his image or his design that he created. Then he would be able to go out there and basically cut out the pattern based off that grid. However, in 2012, I believe it was, we did a Noah Webster maze, where the whole maze was a word search, and it took him about a month to cut it all out by hand. And by the end, I think he was just about, you know, he started out by like hoeing out the seedlings that were coming up in the corn. He was out there with like a push mower by the end of it. And the following year, we actually met someone whose business is cutting out corn mazes, Rob Stouffer, Precision Mazes. He's based out of Missouri, just outside of Kansas City, and he drives around the country cutting out corn mazes. So we provide him with the design. He has a Bobcat skid steerer that has a very high-tech GPS on it and a mower on the front. And he comes out and he will cut it out in about a day and a half, depending on how complicated the design is. Yeah.
Quite a difference from the work that Will was putting at the end there.
Quite a difference. Makes our lives much easier. And he's a super nice guy. He very much gets our designs and what we're going for, and is always super excited to come out and work with us. So
you guys have over the years had other like family oriented attractions out there for people to visit the maze, right?
Yeah, we've done a couple different things in the past. I think we did a strawberry fest for a while, as a part of our pick your own. We've done a couple. We did a nighttime maze for a few years, but that was very complicated in doing. It was basically like a haunted attraction. Mm. It was kind of this whole separate beast that in the end, it just was too much coordination to try and manage. But yeah, those are kind of some of the main extra things we've done. The one other, it's not as family friendly, but it's still a very fun event, is we do also do beer mazes at the farm, which are, we have a separate cornfield from our main cornfield. And every Friday night from the last Friday in October, or last Friday in September through October, we host breweries out in the cornfield. So the idea being, instead of trying to find, you know, trivia stations out in our maze, you are getting a map and going out and trying to find breweries who are posted up out there and ready to serve you some beer samples while you're out in the maze.
Sounds like a great idea. It sounds like fun.
It is usually a very, very fun time. We just put tickets up for sale now, and they always sell out. So they're fun events.
Before we move on, what is the website people should go to find tickets to any of these attractions?
Mikesmaze.com for our general daytime maze. And if you're interested in specifically the beer mazes, it's mikesmaze.com/beer.
Awesome. Remember, people will probably repeat that at the end. How has Mike's Maze grown in attendance and reputation over the years? And I guess the broader question is, how important is it to the farm's revenues and business plan?
It is as it has continued to grow, we've realized how much more attention we should be paying to it. I think that, like I said, it started out as this fun kind of lark, two friends just like, let's try and do this thing and make it fun and interesting for us. As the years have gone on and we've seen it grow to the point that we're like, this needs to be treated with a little bit more seriousness and care. And we've actually, at this point, the farm's fall production, we cut way back. We used to grow squash and pumpkins and peppers and all that stuff that we'd be harvesting in September and sometimes into October. However, at this point, we've basically cut most of that stuff out, and so that we can solely focus on running the maze and the beer mazes. It's probably grown to the point that it's probably about a third, if not more, of the farm's total income that
Wow.
happens. So, it's become a very large part of our overall farm business.
Dave, tell me about your own history on the farm. I know you grew up there, and then you were away from Sunderland for a while. Tell me about your career path that brought you back to the farm.
Yeah, so I growing up, I was never in like, the farm wasn't necessarily stressed as like the type of thing of like you have to keep the family tradition going. It was very much, this was back in, the 90s when it was just a wholesale farm, and it was kind of just scraping by really. So my parents were very much like, no, you should go out, and find other employment outside of this. I went to college, I got a degree in wildlife biology. But right when I graduated, I graduated in 2009 from school, so right in the heart of the financial crisis. And kind of looking around and realizing what my options were at the time, it was either paying to go to grad school, which didn't seem like the right move to do, or I was going to just come back to the farm and kind of like work here for a bit as I kind of figured things out. I kind of, the truth is that it was just like, I don't really want to do more schooling. I don't want to go back to grad school. And I've worked on the farm since during the summers, on and off since I was probably 13. And that was a much more fun prospect to come back to. The maze had started at that point, so the inklings of this, this business that we had out here with the corn maze was growing. However, we weren't to the point. It wasn't quite, a full-fledged separate business the way it is right now. But there seemed to be some sort of viability to coming back to the farm and making a go of it. So, I came back. I started working here, and there was, some very lean years as I came back, and we were both trying. Both me and my dad were trying to survive off the farm, but, thankfully we've kind of pushed through that, and yeah, that's my general path. And now I've been back on the farm since, oh, for almost 13 years now. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's great that you've got the maze as such a significant part of the revenue now, and that's kind of bolster against some of the challenges. I mean, I know you mentioned the weather before, but how challenging is it to run a farm these days?
This year it's extra challenging.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely, all the rain has made it extremely challenging, plus all the extreme freeze events we had over the winter. We grow peaches, and we haven't, we lost all our peaches in that freeze we had back in February. So, it's certainly it's a challenge, and you know, you do everything you can to try and spread out your risk. It's the biggest thing you're trying to do. That's why we sell wholesale. We have a CSA. We have the corn maize, and we also own the Millstone Farm Market, which is a small store right across the street from our main farmyard. And it's all just about diversifying the way, you know, the different ways that we can kind of keep going, even when you have a year like this, where it's like, well, where we don't have peaches to buffer us. And there's been so much rain that a lot of the other produce is really, you know, it's that we haven't had great yields on a lot of the, you know, sweet corn and tomatoes and melon crops that we've had. So it's just all about kind of diversifying the ways in which you're, or how you're, you know, your income streams really. So I think that we've been able to do that to a degree that, you know, it's kept us going through even tricky years like this, but it's still not fun. It's no fun to farm in a year like this when you're just staring at it and, you know, you have to send your crew home early again because the fields are soaked and you can't do anything out there. And, you know, it is what it is, I guess. So
we're just about out of time. So I do want to kind of push the maze again. How long is Mike's Maze open this year?
We are open through the every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every week, through the first weekend in November. I don't remember those exact dates, but
in the beer maze,
our first one is Friday, September 27th, and then every Friday night, through October.
And if you can repeat those two websites again, I'd love for people to go visit them and visit you.
Yeah, so our website is mikesmaze.com. And again, if you're looking just for the beer mazes, it's mikesmaze.com/beer.
All right. And again, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Dave, for spending a few minutes with me today to talk about it.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.